the danger zone. And my guests today are two people I've known for quite a number of years. They host on Rumor Mill News as Disclosure, and they are examples of what Rumor Mill News and RumorMillNewsRadio.com is trying to encourage people to do, and that is to take back your community, take back your country, starting at the grassroots level. Now, starting in the 90s, all the little newspapers all across the country were bought up. And in fact, it was Henry Kissinger's group that was buying up all the little newspapers because there were still newspapers around that actually told the truth. What my two guests today are going to talk about is how to start a little newspaper in your town, how to become investigative reporters, I mean real investigative reporters, so that you're digging up the dirt, you know, from the courthouse. I mean, you're not going to the neighbors and digging up that kind of dirt, but you're going to the courthouse, you're digging up actual court records on the corruption that is just absolutely rampant throughout this country. I'd like to welcome Jack and Angela, known as Disclosure, and that is the name of their newspaper.
Hello.
And I didn't want to give a last name or a city in case you didn't want the world to know who you are.
Okay. Well, everybody knows who we are here anyway, so it doesn't make any difference. I'm going to have Jack say hi first. We're going to have to trade off the phone because we are having phone problems here at the house. It's been raining for days. Here's Jack.
Hello.
Welcome, Jack. I know that you're the one that sort of goes out there and gets all of that information in the investigative reporting way. What was it that told you that this is what you guys were going to do?
Actually, we've been in journalism for several years, and we noticed that the other area journalists, the mainstream media people, as they're known now, weren't covering the behind-the-scenes stories. There were public officials who were getting in trouble, and they were part and parcel the reason why these people were getting away with what they were doing. And we thought it was time that somebody exposed what was going on, and so we started digging. And that's kind of how we got to where we are.
And how did you even end up in the little town? Because you two have lived all around the world. How did you end up in this little town?
Actually, Angela tells a really cool story, and I'll let her tell that part of it.
Okay, I'm back. What part am I supposed to tell now?
Well, I just told them that you and Jack have lived all over the world. Now,
yes,
how in the world did two world travelers who've, you know, sort of seen it all, how did you end up in this little town? How big is this little town?
Well, first of all, we live way out in the country. We're at least 5 miles from civilization at this point in time, but the nearest little town to us, there's one 2 miles to the east that's 300 souls, and the one that's to the west is 1,900 souls, although that's probably diminished since the last census. But how we got here is kind of odd. We both started out here. I started out in Wayne County, Illinois, and Jack started out one county to the north in Richland. He joined the military at a very young age, 17, and he took off. And I had a music career at 17, and I took off. And so we did our respective things. You know what military will do to you, so will performing. And we were all over the world. And along about the 90s, he was out of the military. And because of health reasons, I was out of singing. And we both decided to come home independently of each other. We'd never met. And he had been working at a very small circulation, what was it, about 2,200, I think, as a navigator in Grayville, for a couple of years. And I was with a baby of 17 months old and then my two other children, without income and desperately needed a job. So I went to apply at this, newspaper and got a job making minimum wage as a salesperson and as a secretary, and there he was. And so that's kind of how we got together. I mean, it's a little more complex than that, but that's kind of the cute version of how this happened. And this was in 1997. This was exactly 11 years ago this month, as a matter of fact.
incredible. And I have pictures of your wedding, and my God, you guys look like movie stars.
Thank you.
Honestly. There needs to be a life story about what you two have done, and you could play your both beautiful enough that you could play yourselves in this Hollywood movie.
Jack is thanking you. He doesn't think he's that good looking. I've told him he is. He's beautiful, but we don't usually put our pictures out online so that people, you know, can't. It superimpose our faces on other people's bodies, kind of like they did Sarah Palin. I'm sure they would have had an awful lot of fun with that kind of thing with us, because we have a lot of local enemies and probably a lot of statewide enemies too now at this point, given who our president-elect is.
Oh, God. Yeah, yeah. You're in Illinois.
Illinois. We are downstate. We are the other Illinois, the forgotten Illinois. We are an impoverished area down here south of Springfield. Everything that used to be economically feasible for us, coal mining,
right,
has gone the way of the dinosaur. And
you know, interestingly enough, when I was married to Gunter and hiding out in different, you know, cabins without phones and off the
beaten track. Oh, don't tell me you were nearby.
Yeah, I was in southern Illinois. Yes, that was where I was.
Oh,
that was where one of the safe houses was that I used to sleep on the floor there. And at least know that I was going to be protected.
Well, hey, you might have slept on the floor at our farmhouse over there in Wayne County for a while.
It's very possible. I never really knew who I was. I just trusted the men that put me there.
Wow. Okay, we'll have to talk about this at another time when we're not lying.
Anyway, what I wanted to bring the two of you on today for was to teach our listeners, because I know there are people out there. There's a lot of people that have retired early because of the problems. You know, they were wise enough to see. I was a teacher. I pulled my money out of the teacher's retirement fund, quit, you know, signed off on all of the stuff, and put all of my retirement into an IRA, you know, which doesn't exist anymore. But at least I got it. I may have spent it already, but at least I got it. And I'm sure that there are a lot of other people who have done the same thing, that they were wise enough to see the handwriting on the wall, and they've got money sitting in a CD somewhere, and they're not really doing anything but listening to the radio. And so if there's people out there that this applies to, I want you to realize that there is something you really can do, and there are two people here that are going to tell you step by step by step what you have to do and how to get started.
Well, I hope we can, and I do know, let's add, I don't want this to sound like a presidential debate or anything, but let's add that there are people out there like that because we have spoken to them. We've directed other people. Now, I don't know if they actually picked it up and ran with it, but we talked to a guy down in Senatobia, Mississippi about a year ago, and he had done exactly what you were saying. He'd retired early, and he got out while the getting was good, and he had read our publication while he was up here, and he wanted to get into it. And so what we do is we give a little guideline to these people. Unfortunately, there's nothing that's really cut and dried as to how we can do this. It's not difficult, but it is very detailed. And
I've been after you to franchise, create the subway of small town newspapers.
I wish. I don't know. If we could, I mean, what ends up happening is it's so time consuming for us because your listeners, you know, I've mentioned it earlier here, but I have an awful lot of health problems. And some of the things that we cover in our paper, we cover them because of my health problems, because this was something that I was given. I was not, you know, it's a deteriorating health condition that I acquired thanks to environmental toxins. And so that's a topic that we tangle with. But one of the things I would recommend if somebody wants to do this, be healthy. Get somebody with you or get a staff if you can afford a staff that's healthy, because this is, yeah, like Jackie's saying, like me, because this is hard. This is really hard. If I get down, like my back, I have nerve and muscle damage in my back. If I get down while driving 13 counties, two states, and going to pick up the paper in another state, it's very, very difficult. Now, some of the people who would like to start such a deal as this might not encounter some of the difficulties we have. It really depends on where you are. Southern Illinois because we are the forgotten Illinois, and because there is Chicago in the mix there. The corruption here is hideous. And so we knew that we had our work cut out for us. But see, we love our state. We came back here for a reason. I owned a house in Georgia. I could have moved there when I came back from overseas. I could have rented my old house back in Alabama where I lived when I came back. I could have gone to Hawaii. I could have gone anywhere I wanted to. But I opted to come back here. And it's the same with Jack. So you have to love where you are, and you have to love what you intend to do. One of the things that we do is it's not just that we have this keen sense of justice and we see this injustice going on all around us. We're nosy. That is the fact. Jack is laughing. We are nosy. We're not gossip mongers, and we never were. I mean, anybody who ever knew us before we started in newspaper would know that that's not our character at all. But I was a private investigator for a little while. And
oh,
so,
I didn't know that.
Yeah, a lot of people don't know that. I did that when my son was very small to supplement my income. Back in the 80s, everybody was going into this conspicuous consumption lifestyle, and my ex-husband and I had jobs in retail management. Retail management doesn't really pay the bills, and I didn't sing a whole lot back then, so I got into private investigation because I was good at talking to people.
Mm-hmm.
See? And that's half the battle right there. You have to overcome this fear of approaching people and talking to them about things that might even be sensitive to them. So I did that, and and I lose my track sometimes, so help me, Ray. Keep me on track with all of this. But that's why we got into it. We have this nose for getting into these things, and so that's something that is required of someone.
And what did you have to do to put, just to put the bare bones of it together? You know, the computers, let's not go there first.
That's the technical end. We might let Jack talk about that.
Yeah, that's the technical end. One of the things that you said was you can't have a past. You can't have anything that anybody can bring up on you.
Right, so you are putting yourself in the public eye. Now, here's something that people who want to do what we do, and let's get a full understanding of what we do. We have a monthly news magazine on a tabloid format that looks like a tabloid newspaper. We call it a newspaper, but it is actually once a month, so it's a news magazine. The name of it is Disclosure. We're online at disclosurenewsmagazine.com, all one word, Disclosure News Magazine.
And they send it out all around the world, so if you want a copy of it, even if you don't live in their town or their state, the paper is fascinating. The people at my post office love it. After I'm finished reading it, I take it back to the post office and give it to them.
Get them a subscription, Viacom. No, we do. We publish. We're in Edwards County, Illinois. We started this in March of 2003. Jack had been in print media for 10 years at that point in time. I had been in on and off since 1997 at that point in time. Between us, we've held every job that you could imagine at a small town or even a big AP newspaper, because we've worked for both of them. I should have written down all the different newspapers we've worked for so I could go into this with an intelligent, the number I could pop out, but I can tell you a lot. We've bounced around. It's one of those things. You get a job offer from another paper and you go.
Absolutely.
And so we have done the photography end, and we have done the computer and the techie end, and I've done the ad end, and Jack has done the ad layout end. And then, of course, we write. And so Disclosure News Magazine is published from Edwards County, and we cover 13 counties in southeastern Illinois. I won't name them all because I would forget one, I'm sure. And occasionally we cover a couple of counties over in Indiana because we're right here on the Wabash River. We're right here on the Wabash Valley Seismic Zone, which we're not here to talk about that, but we did get shook up back in April. It was pretty bad.
I remember when that happened.
Oh, 16 miles from the epicenter. It was just, the house was moving. It was awful. But, okay, let's get out of something scary. And then we have been publishing regularly. We have not missed one issue since March of 2003, even with all my health problems. We do not have a staff. We used to have a girl who came and actually worked for us when I was really, really sick, and she actually helped take care of the house more than she did anything. And she wrote for us occasionally, but that was kind of a disaster in that being. So we can't trust anybody. We can't find anybody who'll go and cover the meetings and do the things that we're willing to do.
Absolutely.
We go to these 13 communities, and we have what we call minion. We have people who are so in deep, they are public officials. They are people who get a taxpayer-supported paycheck. Yes. And they give us information. They give us documents. Sometimes we get documents that are totally off the record. People would absolutely fall over in a dead faint if they knew who some of our sources were. That is something that we've maintained since we started, and people say, oh, they just make this up. And I'll leave out the vulgarities is how they say it. But we have state officials and local officials and county officials who give us this information. And so, no, we don't make this up. We can't make this up. We'd get sued.
Oh, I know you would. Yeah. I know you would. That's one of the things that we need to talk about is how to keep from being sued. If you're going to do this, how do you keep from being sued?
Okay. Well, first of all, you keep your journalistic integrity. You don't dive into the muck and the stuff, because public officials, let's think about this. I know your listeners are all over the world right now, and we work here on a county, municipal and county and state level. And so you've got to think of all the public officials at that level, and particularly those in the judiciary and the police, the law enforcement end of it, who they expect you to behave a certain way according to the laws that the legislature passes 24/7. Our lives are under constant scrutiny by the state. So we in journalism feel that people whose paychecks our tax money is funding, they should be under microscopic scrutiny of their lives 24/7 simply because they owe their living to us. And so they are answerable to us every second of the day, no matter what they do. So occasionally we go into the more sordid stuff. People want to call it sleazy, but hey, whatever. But we go into the things that people, these public officials, do in their personal lives because we're funding their personal lives. Our taxpayer dollars support what they do off the clock as well as on.
I have to admit, you had that one story about, what was it, the sheriff's deputy's wife, and it just kept going on forever. It was like a soap opera.
Was that Wabash County Sheriff Terry McWilliams?
Yes.
Yes.
Oh, my God, that story was incredible.
Well, he married a woman who has a record as long as both her legs, you know, and she's into dope, and she's currently under charges in another county right now for dope and drunk driving and meth trafficking. And why? I mean, when you elect the sheriff for whatever the length of term is, you expect him to really, his life to be above reproach because he's busting people every day. And so that's the thing that a lot of people want to say, we're muckrakers. No, we're not. We're holding these people as accountable as they hold us. And so getting back to the legal end of it, they are public officials on the taxpayer's dime 24/7. If they're on the taxpayer's dime, they're accountable to the taxpayers. Journalism is a fourth leg of government.
Absolutely.
It started out that way when this country was founded. Granted, it was weakened, like you were saying about Kissinger. The Nixon administration did an awful lot to undermine journalism. But thank God for, you know, all the president's men and the whole that whole ordeal. But we're to hold them accountable. And mainstream media is not doing that. Mainstream media allows those people to dictate what they're producing.
You know, I can remember once being told by a CIA operative, I was quoting him a Washington Post story by the CIA correspondent from the Washington Post, and the CIA operative that I was talking to just laughed, and he said, don't you understand that if the Washington Post ever wrote the truth about what they are doing, they would... the CIA would cut off their access, so they would have no stories whatsoever.
Exactly. And then that breeds lazy journalists.
Well, they just published. They, In my opinion, all that news reporters do these days is publish the press releases from the governmental agencies that they're reporting about. There is no more investigative reporting.
Right. Well, people get threatened. And listen, Ray, we were threatened. When we first started this publication, I was very, very ill. Now, I'll tell your readers, I was dying from arsenic poisoning. It was environmental toxin. It was coming from two sources, and we ultimately found out where it was coming from, and I was, you know, cured of it, so to speak, but the damage is done. But at the time, we thought I was dead within months, and so what we wanted to do was expose what was going on in our little bitty county and the four or five counties surrounding us before I died. Yes. And so we had the prosecutor telling people, well, why don't you just tell us how Jack Hauser is involved in the meth trade here? Not is he, how he is. And boy, when I found out he was doing that, I called him up, and I was on actually a chemotherapy medication. And sick as I could be, could barely talk, I called that guy, and I called him everything that, you know. And so I told him, don't ever, ever do anything like this, because you will rue the day. We will see that you're out of office. Hey, guess what? He was out of office as of last Tuesday.
Congratulations.
Thank you. He's our fourth state attorney.
Oh, my God, that is incredible. How many judges have you gotten rid of?
No judges yet. It breaks our heart. If all these people who have voted, they go to the polls and they don't fill in a yes or a no vote for a judge to be retained, if they would all vote no, and polls show that those who don't vote really feel they don't want that judge in, they would go and vote non-retention for this judge, we would have lost every judge. We would have lost eight judges so far in this.
I always vote no on almost all the incumbents.
Yes, vote no to retain judges particularly. Use your conscience on your rest of your incumbents, because there might be some good ones out there, and we've had a few. Not this last round, but yeah, judges, oh. but let's get back, because here I'm talking in a big circle, and
what we were talking about was it's the past. You've got to expose yourself immediately. Yes. One of the things that I saw in your news magazine, this is disclosurenewsmagazine.com. If you're at your computer, you can look it up. Disclosurenewsmagazine.com. A few weeks ago or a month ago, I got this Hauser implicated for non-child support or something.
Yes,
it was like, oh my God, Jack's writing a story about himself.
Yes, he has done that, and I have done that on my bankruptcy. When you go to do this, and this is what I was saying earlier, you get in the public eye. Now, we're not public officials. We don't take taxpayers' dollars. We've never taken a grant, nothing like that, to do this business. As a matter of fact, we've never had a loan. But we are in the public eye. And so the public has the right to question us as well. And one of the things that happened with Jack was years and years and years ago, because of job turnovers and things, he got behind on his child support. And the state, of course, stepped in and took over, and they added fines and fees, and it became an astronomical number. Now, we're still paying that child support, and we will probably pay it until the day we die. We're not welching on it, but the very first thing Jack said when we started this newspaper, in print, in his column, he brought up that child support debt. He gave the number, the figure. He told about it right up front. Embarrassing, sure. Mm-hmm. And the other time when he does have a slight criminal record, he was going to take some pictures. A man had murdered two of his wives in one house, and Jack wanted pictures of the death room.
Mm-hmm.
The guy was sitting in jail, so Jack broke into the house.
Oh, my gosh.
I mean, come on now.
Well, those are the things you'd see on television, and they never get arrested.
No, they don't get arrested. And my husband, that year, he's reminding me, that year he won the Illinois Press Association number one feature photo for the year in the state of Illinois. He won it.
And that was the murder room.
It wasn't. A picture of the murder room wasn't what he won for, but he had won for another photo. And so what I'm saying is, he doesn't pat himself on the back. He doesn't rest on his laurel. he just wanted a picture of the murder room. Two women had been shot in the head there. The man was sitting in jail. He was 70-something years old. He wanted it for the story that actually he and I were working on. And he broke in, and he took a picture, and he left. And he did tell our publisher and our ad guy and everybody else when he was souping the film, what we called souping the film back then because we didn't have digital. He was saying, yeah, I've got it. Got the Schilling murder. And they said, okay, good deal. We didn't
did
know about
it.
Well, no, because he was arrested.
Oh, my gosh. And
somebody
they confiscated the photo?
Yes, they confiscated the photo. We don't even have those photos anymore.
Oh, my gosh.
The story ran and with no photo, and, of course, the story also on the front page was that Jack was arrested and he was fired.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, and so that was the other thing that Jack did as soon as we started this paper. It was right out of the box. He talked about his criminal misdemeanor. He pled guilty. He refused a public official. He paid his fine. A few years later, they said, you can have this expunged. He said, no. Why? I did it.
Yeah.
You know, so that's one of the things that when you go to do something like what we're doing, put that out there right up front.
You can have no past.
No past. I had a bankruptcy. I put the bankruptcy out there. People knew about my ex-husband, how he broke my arm and detached my retina. People knew that. That was out there right in print, right up front. So you can have no past. Expose it yourself immediately and viciously. Criminal charges, convictions, back child support, bankruptcy, financial problems, infidelities, dope or drinking problems.
Exactly.
If there's something you're embarrassed, someone is going to find out. Get it out there. There's no way that anyone can attack you if you've taken away their fun by attacking yourself. So for those who are interested in doing what we're doing, that's probably your first step. Now, if we're going to go down this list, this is a pretty good list to think about. And if anybody wants to take notes, this is the time to do it.
And we're going to get right back to this list. And I think that this list you're going from is going to make a tremendous article. And we'll put it up on Rumor Mill, and you can link it on DisclosureNewsMagazine.com. And I got to go sweep out the company store, Angela. That's how I pay for this show. So we'll be back after I do a little bit of sweeping and a little bit of mopping to RumorMillNewsRadio.com on the MicroEffectLive.com radio network. Don't need a vote, won't need a union. Again, we're headed right into the danger zone. One of the reasons that we're losing our country is the people don't have any news about what's going on. All they have is this made-up crap that the mainstream media is shoving down our throats in radio, in television, in magazines, I mean, everywhere. We need more people to do what Jack and Angela have done, to start their own newspaper and to hold the elected officials' feet to the fire. And so welcome back, Jack and Angela.
Thank you. Jack is listening.
And there was one thing that I also, you've got this incredible list. The one thing, number three on your list, malice toward none.
Yes.
You need a keen sense of justice, but no malice. In other words, if you've got an agenda, if you have been done wrong by one of your elected officials, this isn't a good reason to open up a newspaper, because you're going to only be focusing on one thing.
Yes, one issue.
Getting even.
Yes, that would be, someone could detect actual malice, and we might be able to talk about, we might be able to dissect that later, but you can't be focused on one thing. You know, someone asked me what we do, the things we do cover, the list is so astronomical it would take me an hour to tell you. So it's a keen sense of justice, like I wrote. You see wrongs everywhere. And with journalism being the fourth leg of government, you know, journalism has, newspapers and TV, it has turned into this happy, dappy, sappy, let's tell you all the little fun things that are going on, and let's obsess about our sports people and our movie people and things like that, even local official or local celebrities, that kind of thing, and they won't tell you. When somebody's doing something wrong, when your city council's doing something wrong, and nobody's holding them, like you said, their feet to the fire, nobody's holding them accountable, that's injustice to a whole lot more people.
Wow, my television just came on in the background. Sorry for that.
Okay.
G. Gordon Liddy.
Oh, no. He's haunting us.
Yeah, I know. Isn't that a weird thing?
So what you do is, and what we did was, when we first got into journalism, we were seeing everything. They teach you, and neither one of us, by the way, have degrees. My mm-hmm. background's not in journalism. Jack was in the military. He blew things up for a living.
You shouldn't have degrees in journalism.
No.
They don't teach journalism anymore.
No, and that would have been a huge mistake. So neither one of us had backgrounds in journalism. We just did this, and we were told by our publishers whose fathers had been in journalism and grandfathers had been in journalism, you know, it was a family thing. They told us, be neutral. You go in and you report what happened. Well, we did that for a few years, and then the last mainstream job we had, we couldn't. We were seeing terrible things happen. We were seeing people, this is terrible, but I mean, we were seeing people's water bills triple.
Mm-hmm.
We were seeing, okay, here's a bad one. We were seeing the police chief using his night vision equipment that he'd been given by Homeland Security grant to watch pretty girls through their blinds or their curtains.
Wonderful.
We were seeing people confiscate in a drug bust. We were seeing the police confiscate weapons and the FBI saying, oh, you can have that. And they would take off with these guns and these tools and these fun things. And that, we couldn't stand by. We couldn't abide by that. We watched this for a year. We watched people jump warrants. We watched a state's attorney hammer a family because of drug issue, and he would say, well, don't you know that's just the way this works? We keep them in there for fines and fees. Don't you know that? And Jack would go, no, you do this for justice. Well, we saw a whole community destroyed by the locals, the two local newspapers, both of whom we had worked for. And when we finally got away from them, like I said earlier, I was sick, and Jack asked me really what my dying wish was, and I said, I want to expose these people. And he said, okay, let's do it. And so there we were, telling the truth about these horrific people in the second smallest county in Illinois, the kind of corruption that was rampant. We couldn't believe how awful it was. Hell, we'd gone to the Department of Justice with the things that these people had done. They laughed at us.
Now,
don't you know, Jack and Ange, that's how it works. And so when we started exposing these people, we were in danger. We had people come here to the house and tell us, look, you're going to have to knock this off, or somebody's going to hem you up for dope. Somebody's going to hurt your children. They're going to sabotage your car. And we said, let them try. We are legally armed here, and they will be perforated if they come out to the property. Neither one of us have any kind of, with the exception of Jack's breaking and entering for the burglary for the pictures, neither one of us had any kind of criminal record, any kind of dope or alcohol record, nothing like that. Everybody who knew us had known us all our lives. They knew that we would never do any such sort of thing like that. So if we were popped for drugs, they knew we'd been set up. So, it was dangerous. But then back to the malice situation, you can't hold what happens to you against a public official and hope to succeed in this. You have to see your whole community, what we saw, people being put upon and used for fines and fees to create even more jobs at the courthouse and more cop jobs and more ambulance jobs after 9/11. Oh, it was offensive. It was hideous. So that's the malice. You can't just take out your vendetta against somebody. You have to do it because you love people and you love justice and you want to see things done right.
Right.
So that's your first thing.
Number four was the no past. You've got to expose yourself. And so I wanted to go on to number five because this is something that every one of us needs to learn, including myself.
Oh, yeah.
Freedom of Information Act.
Freedom of Information Act, and you'll hear me refer to this as a FOIA. A FOIA is a request of a public official, taxpayer-supported official, at any level. You can submit FOIAs to the U.S. government. You can submit FOIAs to the military. Expect long delays if you do that, but you can, and we have. But a Freedom of Information Act request is a request for taxpayer-supported, the taxpayer-generated documents, on anything, you name it. Name your public body, and I'll scroll down here and I'll go to school districts, water districts, ambulance services, hospitals, if they're publicly funded, health departments, housing authorities, agencies on aging, economic development, DCFS, the dreaded DCFS, family services. Those types of places are all subject to FOIA. And so you can submit a request to them. They have to answer you within 7 working days. They don't have to give you everything in 7 days, but they have to answer you. And then ultimately you keep at them and you will ultimately get through. They'll try to stonewall you, but.
Now the question is, about 20 years ago I was doing quite a bit of research, and some of the FOIAs that I filed, we didn't have the exact wording.
Mm-hmm.
And so we'd end up filing and filing and filing, and some of them were $15 at the time to file. How much are they now?
No, the FOIA shouldn't cost.
Oh,
I don't know. It's been, what state were you in when you were filing?
Missouri.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
So FOIA shouldn't cost. Now, what you'll get charged are reasonable copying fees. And
that's exactly what it was.
Okay, but
that's
not research.
That's exactly what it was, but it was a dollar a page.
Oh, now that's unreasonable.
Yeah.
What paper do you know is a dollar a page?
I know it, I know.
Okay.
But that
so,
was what they were charging at that time.
No, and what you do is, the FOIAs are on the state and then the national, federal level. So what you do is you become very familiar with your state Freedom of Information Act laws. You can talk to your attorney general, and they will, actually they have a template on every state that I've been able to see. You can go to the attorney general and you can download a template. You have all of the wording, all of the, state code that allows you to ask for a public document or information from a public person. It doesn't have to be just paperwork. And then you submit it in very specific language. Tell them very specifically what you want because they'll...
This is the part that I was getting to.
Yeah. Okay, tell me.
Because we didn't know what we were looking for. We didn't know what the charges were. We didn't know when the charges were filed. And we had to submit over and over and over again. And, of course, they absolutely hated us. In fact, even tried to arrest me and throw me in jail for trespassing in a courthouse where I'm getting documents.
Had you been told to leave?
Yes, I was told to leave.
Oh, they really can't tell you to leave unless you're being disruptive. And
well, we had a camera. That was what we were doing. We thought we'd get out of the, dollar a page by taking photographs. And we weren't supposed to have a camera.
That's questionable.
and they told us to leave. I said, well, I'll just put the camera away and you can copy them. And so they were proceeding to have the police come in and arrest us, and we decided to leave before the police got there.
Okay.
That was the second time they tried to arrest us in that county courthouse, my lawyer and myself.
So they had heartburn against you already.
Yeah, they didn't like us. The name Russbacher in St. Charles, Missouri was not very well, was not a beloved name.
Oh, boy. I know, I've read the story.
Yeah. But the thing about FOIA, how do you even begin? I mean, in our case, we had to pay all of this money out getting all of these worthless copies before we even ran across the charges that when my husband was in jail for.
Mm-hmm. Well, so, you start with your basics. Now, go ahead and ask that the question you were getting ready to ask. Maybe I can give a clear answer.
Well, I guess the question is, say you know that the government or that your water department is overcharging people. What would you ask for to prove that?
Well, then you have to ask yourself, when did you or whomever you're looking for notice the overcharging? When did it begin? Then you start at that date, and you perhaps ask to see documents that pertain to the waterworks beginning on, like, say, September 1st, 2008, and continuing through October 31st, 2008, up to and including any price increases that may have occurred during that time, but not exclusively. Is that what it is, Jack, that you... Oh, okay, he can't hear me. Freedom of Information Act, when you're being very specific, you're trying to nail something down, you would include a time frame and say, yeah, window and up to and including but not limited to.
Okay, right, up to and including but not limited to.
Not limited to, and so that broadens your scope a little bit. Now, this is really, FOIAs are really, really subjective. And so what you do, as you use FOIAs, you learn over time what works and what doesn't. We've still got one hanging out there to a judge about a transcript that he hasn't answered in 2 years. And because judges are immune to everything, we can't get our attorney on him. But most people... Yeah. Hold on, Jack is saying something about Barack Obama's driving his... From this date to this date, he said that actually you could make a request of that of the Secretary of State of Illinois.
Mm-hmm.
If he's had any traffic infractions, parking violations. If you're looking for a DUI and you don't know what the date is, but you know that he had one, ask specifically about a DUI and give your window from this date to this date and a time, perhaps. But you continue to ask... And you narrow your FOIAs down. And yeah, they'll get mad at you, but they have to do it. It's law. It's law, state to state, and it's U.S. code. They have to do it.
Well, that is wonderful information, and I'm certain that there are all sorts of websites now. Mm-hmm. I mean, way back in the early 90s when I was going through all of this with Gunter, there wasn't an internet. Anything that we had to look up, we had to go to the library or the courthouse.
Sure.
Now a lot of things are actually online. They even put some of this stuff online that you may be looking for.
But your attorney general is the most help, state to state, that we've discovered. The attorney general's office. And you can even call those folks. And they'll have a toll-free. And they can walk you through it. Our former attorney went to work for the Illinois attorney general a couple of years ago.
You know, people don't realize how helpful the attorney general was. I had a website, a web hosting company way back in Delaware, that I had never hosted with, and they kept charging $25 a month, and I couldn't get them to stop charging me.
Mm-hmm.
So I took them, I called my attorney general, they called the company, and within about 2 days I had a special delivery, and not only did they give me all of my money back, they gave me more back.
They probably fined them. They're accountable for the business, especially if the business is incorporated. They're accountable. For
absolutely,
business bureau.
And so state attorney general's offices can be very, very valuable. I have found that out myself.
Mm-hmm.
Well, another thing you say is a good vehicle. Now, why in the world is that important?
Because if you, no matter where you live, if you're in a small area, and see, I believe we're addressing small communities today, and I hope we're addressing small communities.
Yes, we are.
Yeah, you're not going to have a print shop right there in your town. And if you do, they're probably not going to take your business because you're outing the wrongs of all the public officials, including the mayor, who they might have as a landlord. We have that situation just north of us in town. The mayor owns everything.
Wow.
And so you may have to go out of your area to print your publication, and you need a good vehicle. that's just one of those things. Plus, you know, you need to go to meetings. You need to, Jack and I have traveled hours in one direction to follow up on a state's attorney who allegedly got busted for dope. One of our local state's attorneys busted for dope in Missouri. Well, and so it was probably 3 hours one way. We dropped everything and we went when we found out where this occurred because we needed to talk to the highway patrol there.
Right.
And get a confirm or denial on it. So you need a good vehicle.
Any vehicle. I would imagine you need a vehicle that you can carry bundles of newspapers in.
That's correct. We put thousands of newspapers, anywhere from 20 to 28 pages on a tabloid format. In the back of our vehicle, we have a Jeep with a really good suspension and a big back end. And so we put thousands of these papers in every month to deliver them. It's just us. And granted, Jack carries the heavy newspapers. I can't carry them, but, you know, or if you have a staff, if you end up expanding so big that you have a staff, make sure that you have something that you can tote thousands of papers around in. And if your territory is as big as ours is, something that gets good mileage and is really road reliable, get yourself a warranty and you know, hang on to whatever extended warranty you can. Keep your tires up to date. I won't talk about air and tires. Our president's already told all about that, our president-elect. But
yes, we'll get you the Barack Obama tire check instrument.
Hey, we might develop
right.
Special from disclosure.
You know, it's very interesting as you drive a Jeep. I swear to God, Jeep should sponsor Rumor Mill News because I think over half of the Rumor Mill News agents, including myself, drive Jeeps.
Do we?
Yes.
We want a Corvette. But we can't fit very many papers in Corvette.
Hey, you know, I've got a 1972 Fiat Spider. I'll sell that to you.
That is a beautiful little thing. If it gets good mileage, we might think about it after we retire and sell this to somebody.
Well, it does get good mileage, but I need to sell it immediately. Anybody?
Oh, I know. Okay, so here's the swap shop on Rumor Mill News Radio by Micro Effect. Ray needs to sell her car.
You need to sell a beautiful red 72 Spider.
Oh, yes.
And it is gorgeous.
It's lovely.
Well, anyway, which one of you is the salesperson? Or are both of you the salesperson?
I think we don't have salespeople. It's so sad. We have so few ads right now. When we were actually actively selling ads, both of us were. I am the one who has background in sales. But, you know, Ray, it's hard to stay cheery.
That's what I was going to say. How do you stay cheery in the face of what you go through?
That's when you go out and you find all these people that have really bleak outlooks on life, like all the scene people and the emo people, people who provide tattoos and body piercings, and
you
get them to advertise. That's what we're working on for our next go-round on our ads. We're trying to get all the scene and the emo people who have businesses to advertise with us because, A, it's all going to heck in a handbasket. So.
If you don't make your money from ads, how do you make your money?
We make our money from rack sales. And that, see, our paper, now this is something that we haven't gotten into, is $2 a copy. Really, we should have gone, we started out at $1 a copy, then we went to $1.50 5 months into it, and then when we were selling 5,000 newspapers, you know, we thought, well, maybe we should bump this up to $2 a copy. No, gas was hovering at $2 a gallon. We thought, we'll just stay, you know, is it buy a disclosure for $1.50 or buy a gallon of gas for $2.15? We appeal to people who, we don't appeal to the hoity-toities.
Right.
We don't appeal to the elites. In fact, we hit the elites upside the head every month hard.
Mm-hmm.
And so we want these people who are put upon to read our paper. We didn't want to create a financial hardship for them. But when gas went to $3.50-something a gallon, we had to increase our price to $2 an issue, a copy. So now we're at $2 a copy. I don't think we're going to raise it anymore unless things get really, really bad. But rack sales, and so in order to ensure rack sales and subscriptions, you have to provide content. You can't fill your paper up with pictures of 4-H kids and the latest Easter egg hunt and who's sitting on Santa's lap this week.
Right,
you can't
right.
do that. You can't do press releases for the senior centers. As much as we love the senior centers, I don't think they want us writing about them. We support the senior centers, but we're not going to give their menu every month.
So
we put content in there. We put things we know people want to read, things that affect them directly. What, you know, always when you're a journalist and you're writing, you don't sit there and just tell the story. You think ahead. Think three steps ahead. How does this affect my reader? How does this affect the little old lady down the street who is getting Social Security and has to decide between a canned ham or her medicine?
Exactly. And that's what I deal with, too. You know, in asking for donations, the people who want to get it are the ones on the fixed incomes.
Yes.
Where $5 is like, you know, their medicine.
Yes. Yeah. And that is a hard line to toe. That is really difficult. But in the journalistic world, you provide content. There's a certain website, and we're not that crazy about it, but it's called topics.net, and people go there and they can say whatever they want about whatever subjects are on there. And we've had a topics reader say that we're prophetic. Disclosure is prophetic.
Oh, my gosh, that's incredible. Well, you're going to have to tell us about that, because I've got to go back to work and mop out this store.
Yeah.
And we'll see you on the other side of the commercials. You're listening to LeftyDave.com singing the company store on RumorMillNewsRadio.com. And we've been talking with Jack and Ange from DisclosureNewsMagazine.com on the Micro Effect Radio Network.